place, and you've talked to him already.
No. This is Bob Gilgore interviewing Cecilia Davis at her home at 2011 Bedford Street in Durham on April the 19th in the year 2001. Good afternoon, Cecilia.
Well, how are you, Bob?
I'm very well, and yourself?
Finally met you.
Well, I finally met you, too, and it's a pleasure.
Thank you.
I'll start with the question, where did you grow up and where did you go to school?
I grew up in Raleigh, North Carolina. I went to elementary school at Oberlin Road School, and to high school at Washington High School.
What year
and
did
then
you?
I went to Shaw University.
What year did you graduate Shaw?
From Shaw?
Mm-hmm.
1950.
And then what'd you do?
Came to Chapel to teach.
You didn't get any graduate work after Shaw?
I came to Chapel to teach.
Uh-huh.
And then I went back to get graduate work at North Carolina Central at night and in the summer.
You got a master's?
Right.
In
social studies.
Uh-huh. Where did you teach in Chapel Hill?
I taught at Lincoln High School. But I taught one year, that was in 1950, I taught at
the North Side location?
At the location, the North Side location.
What was it like teaching at Lincoln High School?
Lovely. I taught wonderful kids. We were in a pretty new school, and I loved it. It wasn't integrated, and I didn't know anything about integrated schools because I never went to them, and I never worked at them. But I loved working at Lincoln. And I always said I taught a bunch of lovely kids, and I meant it from my heart. I remember when I used to go to the dentist, he would say, "Well, how are the kids?" I said, "Great. They are really wonderful." He said, "You're the only person who teaches kids in 8th and 9th grade who comes in here and tell me they're lovely." I said, "Well, they are." And I meant it. I taught some lovely kids. And I think they knew I thought that too, because I still hear from a lot of them.
What did you teach?
Well, I taught everything in 8th grade at Lincoln, all subjects.
All subjects?
All subjects.
What were they?
I taught math and health and science and history and English. Whatever else had to be taught, I taught it. So a lot of times, I had to study at night with the kids.
So did the kids stay in the same class all day long with you?
They did. Uh-huh.
So they didn't move around?
They didn't move around.
Until what, ninth grade?
Ninth grade.
Tell me about the methods of teaching that you used at that time.
Well, I don't know, you mean the different ways that I taught. Sometimes you have to, after you get into it, you'd have to think about what will work and try. So what I'm saying, I didn't have one method. It was what would work.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was doing something and I didn't think it was going over well, then I'd try to change it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I found that kids like games, and sometimes I would make games out of some of the things I did.
Can you elucidate on that?
Well, some of the games on television, like Jeopardy and different things, I would make up games with those rules and divide a class into groups, and one group would play against the other, and that helped a whole lot because they liked what they were doing and they liked the competition.
they like.
Then I'd come back and try to talk about it, and then we would take a light test to see if they really learned anything. We'd discuss it after we played the games, and we'd test it to see if it really worked. So once I found that that worked, then I'd try it with other things.
How did you handle the students who were the quick learners and those who were the slow learners?
Mm-hmm. Well, you're right, we always had them. But I would just take more time with the slow learners. I'd start the quick learners on working on something, and then I'd work with the slow learners and try to speed them up. And most of the time, you get to a point where they were working together. They just didn't get it as fast as the other kids.
Did you ever have the quick learners work with the slow learners?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. I would pair them off, and we call that the buddy system.
The buddy system. Mm-hmm. That's something that you use regularly, or?
I use it whenever I needed to. Mm-hmm.
Did you make home visits?
Yes, I did. I knew my parents, because I made home visits, and the principal required us to go to church in the community. So you met some of them at church.
Did the principal ask you to make home visits or require you to make home visits?
Yeah, he asked us to make home visits, but I have been to the homes when he didn't ask. Mm-hmm.
Did you visit all the students' homes?
I tried to.
How difficult was that?
Took a lot of time.
What was the value of that?
Well, to get to better know your children that you're teaching, to understand the circumstances that they have to live with every day, whatever you could get out of visiting, you could learn a lot about going into the homes. And then you knew why some things were like they were.
Did it change your relationship with the students?
Sometimes it did. Mm-hmm. Because they liked the student. They liked the teacher coming to their house. And it made them feel closer.
Mm-hmm. Did you live in Chapel Hill?
Yes.
Was that required also?
I guess it was. I don't remember anybody saying you have to live here. But I'm trying to say, think when I came, when I left Chapel Hill. Because I left Chapel Hill, and I still taught there.
Mm-hmm. While you were still at Lincoln.
And that's what I was trying to think. Did I leave while I was still at Lincoln? Well, maybe 1 or 2 years before I left Lincoln.
Tell me about the discipline in the school. What techniques were used to discipline children?
I don't know too much about it. I guess I was just lucky, because I didn't have a lot of discipline problems. And we kept the children in a group all day. They didn't go from one place to another. So I don't remember any real discipline problems that I had. Mm-hmm. I can remember more after integration than before. I just can't think of any. If I had to think of one or two discipline problems that I had at Lincoln and tell you about them, I don't think I could.
So the students were pretty well behaved.
Right.
Did you see poverty?
Oh, yes.
In the students?
Yep.
How did you see that?
Well, you can always tell when there's poverty. Some of them don't have lunch and don't have lunch money. You can tell if the shoes are worn. I saw poverty.
How was that handled?
Well, different people helped some of them. Yeah, sometimes we help children. You know, you walk up, you just walk up to them and say, "You eating lunch today?" I didn't bring any money. Well, you get your lunch. You know, you give them money. I would.
Did they ever work off the lunch? In other words, not pay for it, but do some service?
I think they had free lunch for kids some, too.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. Yeah, they had free lunch. But sometimes, you know how what it is about qualifying. Sometimes if you don't qualify, you don't get free lunch, and you're still hungry.
What'd you have to do to qualify to get a free lunch?
I don't know. I think it was something with the welfare or something, you know. I don't know the details of it. But I know some children who didn't get free lunch, who didn't have lunch sometimes.
What about the facilities at the school? When you moved into the school, did you get new equipment, new books?
Got some of both. Some that we used at other schools, and got some new and some we didn't get, because I think as long as we stayed at Lincoln, there were not lockers there.
Mm-hmm.
Kids didn't have lockers. They just had to keep the things in the classroom. And it wasn't as hard on the junior high kids keeping it in the classroom because they didn't move around. But it was hard on everybody else.
Where did they keep their things?
They had to take them with them.
Now, in your classroom?
All day long.
Yeah, did you have a place to hang them? Or they?
Oh, in my classroom?
Yeah, or drape them on the chair?
Well, the chairs had a little part under the chair
uh-huh.
that you could slide books in. And you had a bulletin board in the classroom that had coat hangers on the back.
But no lockers.
No lockers until we left.
Mm-hmm.
When the sixth grade school came in, they put lockers in.
Did you have a paved road to the school? A pavement?
No, not at the beginning.
So the kids had to walk in the street to get
right.
to school?
Uh-huh. You know about Merritt Mill Road. I think it's paved now, isn't it? All the way down Merritt Mill? See, I haven't seen it lately. Yeah. Seemed like I went with somebody down there.
Was the parking lot paved?
No.
Did you have a gymnasium?
Not at first.
Did you have a cafeteria?
Yes.
It was there at the beginning?
Yes.
How about an auditorium for assembly?
Well, when they built the gym, it was a auditorium gymnasium.
Auditorium.
They had chairs they could take in and out the gym to make it an auditorium. It had a stage.
They call it a gym.
It's still there now.
It is. I haven't seen it. I need to go see it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think they did call it a gymtorium.
Did you have adequate materials, paper, pencils, things that you needed for the children?
Well. Now let me, I want to tell you right. The children had to supply their own paper and pencils. Unless, you know, well, most teachers then, and now I guess they do spend a lot of their money. Because I remember buying stacks of papers and pencils just to have in the classroom.
You yourself purchased
yeah,
them?
And buy other materials just to have.
Mm-hmm. I meant to ask you before, did they have showers in the school? For gym class, after gym class?
I guess they did when they built that gym.
So you didn't have them until they built the gym, which was what, 4 or 5 years later?
I think so.
Tell me about the walking in the hallways. Were the hallways noisy and crowded, or were between
not,
classes?
Not really. I remember you walk down one way and you come up another way, and that worked pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Did you have monitors in the hall, safety patrol or something like that?
I know the teachers were required to stand in the doors.
But you didn't have to do that, I assume, because you had your class the whole day.
Right. Sometimes, depending on what was going on in the school.
Can you tell me about assemblies?
What about them?
Did they have them, and how often did they have them, and what took place at them?
Well, depending on what was being celebrated. I remember, I think they required every teacher to have an assembly program, and it was left up to you as to what you wanted. Say Negro History Week, if you had that, you know, they would expect that. But at one time, I think each teacher was required to have an assembly program.
Now, when you say the teacher was required...
That class,
it wasn't the teacher who performed, but
The
students in the class. The students in the class. What kind of things did the students do at assembly?
I just said it, Negro History Week, and maybe a Christmas related, because they weren't so much about not celebrating holidays then. Whatever occurred around that time, the teacher would find something related, a play, a speaker.
Was the church and religion a part of the school?
Well, the church was not a part of the school, but I don't know when they started this. You couldn't pray in school.
Mm-hmm. You prayed in school?
Yeah,
students
we
prayed.
Did.
Mm-hmm. Every day?
Yes, in the mornings. We would start out maybe with a prayer. Sometimes a pledge of allegiance to the flag. Different things.
Mm-hmm. What are your memories of the principal, C.A. McDougall?
Well, I have a lot of memories of him because he is the person who hired me. And I remember when I went for the job, he said he would let me know after the interview. So I said, well, why did I have to go home now? Can't I stay here and see what's going on in the school? And he said, yeah, you can stay. So I stayed all day. And then I said, when are you going to let me know if I have the job? I said, have you interviewed anyone else? He said, yes. I said, but I want to know. Because if you're going to hire me, I won't spend my time going to other cities. If you're not, just tell me. So he told me, you're a persistent little lady, aren't you? I said, yes. So before I left that day, he took me by the superintendent's office to sign a contract. So, and then he was all right to work with. I guess he was like me, and everybody had their own ways. And as long as you understood him and worked with him, I didn't have any problems with him.
What were his ways?
He wanted you to not to waste your time to work, which I didn't think was so bad. And I can't think of, as I said before, they asked you to go to church and visit the families and what have you. And I didn't think that was so wrong, because I didn't mind visiting the families. And I went to church when I wanted to, so that was that. I didn't make anything out of it. You know, what he required, I went along with it. And if I didn't go along with it, I let him ask me, like he said, lady, when you been to church? I said, I don't know. I'm going to tell you the truth. You haven't been to church? I said, I've been to church at home. But I can't think of when I've been. And laugh it on off. I didn't get upset. Some people got upset with him. but it's the way you handled him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you try to understand him, you could. I say that. And I didn't have any problem working with him.
Were there people who didn't understand him?
Oh, yeah.
Who didn't get along with him?
Oh, yeah, I guess. But I don't know who they were. But, you know, at the time, I remember people making certain remarks. But I didn't see anything wrong with what he required. Because most of the time when people require anything, they're not going to stay right on you and see that you do it anyway.
Was he a strong disciplinarian with the students?
Yeah, I thought it was. Yeah. What were you going to say?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I thought it was a strong disciplinary.
What makes you say he was a strong disciplinarian? What were the things
he kept order in the school?
Mm-hmm. How did he?
He didn't have any particular way that he went around demanding this and demanding that. It didn't seem necessary to me. And as I said, I can't think of any real discipline problem mm-hmm. that we had. So if you didn't have a lot of discipline problem, you didn't have to do a lot of things. We didn't have nearly the discipline problems that we had after integration. Now don't ask me why, because I don't know why, but I worked in it, and I do know we didn't have not nearly the problems that we had then. You always have a few kids who get off the narrow path, but they come back.
Do you have any idea of the number of students who started in seventh grade at Lincoln and the number who graduated from Lincoln, what the fall-off rate was?
No.
Or maybe I should put it, what the graduation rate
was.
Right.
I don't know. And I don't know how many dropouts we had mm-hmm. and why. I really don't. But I know it isn't nearly what it is today.
It's higher today than it was.
Oh, yes, much higher. I read in the papers every day about dropouts in the different schools. There are more dropouts today than we used to have.
Do you have any idea of how many of the students who graduated went on to get more education?
I don't have an idea. I do know that quite a few of them did, and I don't know the number. And I know some of them went to work and got good jobs, whatever they could get at the time.
Did the students ever come to you for counseling, for advice, for personal problems?
Yes. Different personal problems. Students always kind of felt that it was all right to talk to me. And that was at Lincoln and afterwards at Phillips. I always had kids to come to me. I can think of a child at Phillips who was unhappy at home and would run away, but he wouldn't talk to his parents. And he wouldn't talk to the counselor, but he'd talk to me. His mother would give me money so I'd have it when he come to me to borrow it, to give to her. And he's doing all right now.
Good. Mm-hmm. I hear from other interviews former students say that the teachers all encouraged me. Mm-hmm. They had a can-do kind of attitude and pushed me to do the best.
Right.
Can you speak to that? Can you talk about that?
Well, I did the same thing. A lot of kids didn't have confidence in themselves. And I encouraged them, I said, to do, you know, what they could do. And they appreciated it, and they tried to do. I believe in encouraging students, because sometimes they don't think they're worth anything, I'll say. But if you try to teach them that they are, they'll try to live up to it.
I mean, it just seems to me that this is a universal comment made by the students. And the philosophy that you just expressed was that of most of the teachers. And I wonder, where did that come from? Did that come from the principal? Did that come from...
Yeah, it came from the teachers, I would say, that the way you feel. Because the principal can't tell you to feel that way if you don't feel that way.
Do you think he hired people who were like that? Did he have any idea that you were like that when he hired you?
I don't think so.
Did the teachers talk about that among themselves?
I don't remember. It's a part of their growing up, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to the PTA meetings?
Yes, I did, all of them. That's one requirement, that you go to PTA every time.
How often did the PTA meet?
Once a month. I think that was all.
And what was a PTA meeting like?
Well, the parents expressed some of their feelings and what have you. You discussed the school at the PTA. What went on, what they were saying, what you were saying. Yep.
Was it argumentative?
Not necessarily. It might get off into that sometimes, but not necessarily. That wasn't the purpose.
So there was an exchange of ideas between parents and teachers at the PTA meeting.
Right.
Did the children perform at PTA meetings?
Sometimes, if it was something special.
Would you say that they performed at half of the PTA meeting?
I wouldn't.
No. Were they well attended?
Sometimes, depending on what's going on.
What kind of things would bring up the attendance?
The integration of schools was one.
I'll bet that did. How did they feel about integration of schools?
I guess they felt like the students. They knew that we were not getting our share, and that I guess they thought it was better. Not everybody thought integration was better, I don't think.
So there was a segment of people from the community who felt that keeping the schools segregated was okay.
Well, I always think that there were people everywhere. There were some that rather for them stayed. Mm-hmm. I guess they had their reasons, but I always thought that there were some people who would rather be segregated if they had equal.
If they had equal?
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I remember some money that the government gave to the schools to buy some things. Now, I shouldn't say this, but I do. They gave the schools some money to buy some things. We didn't buy it. It was bought and sent to us from the superintendent's office. But we knew where the money came from. Maybe I'll say, I always felt that we didn't get all of the money. And sometimes I remember televisions. We didn't have any televisions in the school. And we got some new ones and we got some old ones. So I think some of the other schools got some new ones too.
Even though the money was earmarked for
yes.
the black school.
Right. I don't think all the money came to us.
Anything more about the PTA meetings that you can remember?
Can't think of anything else about the PTA meetings.
What do you remember about the sports at Lincoln High School?
We were a winning team most of the time. And some of the state games were played at Lincoln. They played somewhere out in Carver, Lions Park or somewhere like that. But I have known there would be so many people that could hardly get in the park. And I remember that the Carolina players used to always come to our football games. And I went to all of them because most of the time I helped to sell tickets at the football games.
Were you required to go? Were the teachers required to go to the football games?
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't think so. I know Artie Smith sold tickets, and I sold tickets for the big games, and I sold it most of them.
What was the band like at the football games?
The band was good. We always had a good band. They played at the football games, played for parades in town and around town and other towns. Yep, we always had a good band, a good football team. And the kids loved the band and the football team.
It was a big part of the school.
Right.
When you say you had a winning football team, can you remember how winning it was?
Well, I remember winning some state competition.
State titles.
Yes. So that's winning enough, isn't it?
Sure is. Can't win any more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they had a country title, too.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. title. They still haven't figured out how to do that for the colleges. What about the chorus? Was the chorus any?
They had a chorus, but I can't tell you much about it, I tell you. Until you asked, I hadn't thought about that.
What about the Echo, the newspapers?
Yeah, they had the newspaper, and they had a yearbook, but that was done mostly by the high school people, and I taught in the junior high.
So the seventh and eighth graders didn't have, what was junior high school then? Seventh, eighth, and
right.
Ninth? It was ninth part of junior high?
I think ninth was 9, 10, 11, 12. I think ninth was a part of the high school.
High school. So it was just seventh and eighth was
yes.
Junior high. Did they do anything for the newspaper?
They always put articles in the newspaper and whatever, but they sent their articles into whoever worked with the newspaper. They didn't work with it.
I see. Are there other things that took place at the high school that stand out in your mind, Cecilia?
I can think about something that took place in my classroom. And that was, as we talked, we had North Carolina history, and as we talked about North Carolina, the kids hadn't traveled much. And so when we talked about the mountains, they didn't know much, you know, one or two children you always had, but they didn't know anything about the mountains. Go down to the sea, they didn't know about that. I told them that they lived in the Piedmont, so they knew mostly about Chapel Hill. But as I went along, I found out that there were some places in Chapel Hill that they didn't know about. Yeah, you had one or two, not the majority, but there were one or two kids where some places in Chapel Hill today know much about. So one year I decided that we are going to see all these places. So they said, you can't take the children away from the school. So I said, can the PTA take them? Yeah, if the parents want to go with you, you can go. But you can't go on a school day. I said, we can go on Saturday. So I worked with one of my parents, Mrs. Booth. She was a cafeteria manager. And planned these trips and gave children some projects to do to get that money. And we decided one Saturday, we were going down to the coast. And we were going to keep a list of how many counties we went through and going. So we started out going through Chatham and all around, and down through Fayetteville, because I remember showing them the old slave market. Going on down to Wilmington and put our hands in the Atlantic Ocean. That was a lot of water. And we came back up through Newbern, on up that way, Newbern and Kinston and Raleigh and back into Chapel Hill, you know. And they kept a list of all the counties that we went through. And that was an enjoyable trip. They talked about it a long time. Then we decided later we were going to the mountains. Now, to tell the truth, I don't know how we got all that money to get a bus to go, but we went. I think, where is the Tweetsie Railroad? Boone, is it Boone?
Somewhere up in the mountains, I'm not sure.
I remember that bus that we were going in, when you would go around those mountains, you see the back end one way and the front end of somewhere else. And the kids almost had a fit on that. And we went to the Tweetsie. So some of them rode a train for the first time. And we spent that Saturday up there all day and came back. So our next trip that year was to Piedmont. They said, but we live in the Piedmont. I said, but there's a lot we haven't seen, but we won't go far. And I remember we came to Durham, and we went to Duke, and went, what is that, the
North Carolina Central?
No, we went to North Carolina Central. But the reason I remember Duke, what is, you can't go up there now at Duke. At Tall.
Oh, the tower?
The tower. You could go in the tower then. So we went in the tower and went to the top. And if you go to the top, you can look over and see a city. And the children said, where's that? I said, look good at it now. So they looked over to Chapel Hill. And we went to North Carolina Central. And we went to, just went all over Durham. And then we came back to Chapel Hill. And went to, and I can't tell you how to get there today, where it is, anything. I think I might know something. But we went to Gimgoo Castle. And we could stand over there and look over to there. Now, where is that?
I think that's off of...
Franklin?
Off of the business... It's the road up to where the old Carmichael Auditorium is. I don't know, that's at south, where the Student Union is. I think it's on that road.
Well, I thought it was off Franklin. somewhere. I remember going there. That's where we went.
Right.
So we got a chance to visit the three regions of North Carolina that year.
So some of your students hadn't even been to Durham.
Well, they had, maybe, I wouldn't say that. I might have had some who had, but they hadn't been all over there. Maybe to the bus station or to the shop, to shopping. Because, you know, Sears was up there by the bus station.
They hadn't been to the beach, most of them.
Oh, no, that was something else.
I'll bet they were excited about that.
I thought they were excited about it, but I thought that I wouldn't get over the fact that, oh, so much water. I can't believe it, that much water. And they, what is all of it? I said, that's the Atlantic Ocean. So they wanted to go down and put their hands in the Atlantic Ocean. And we went on Saturday. We couldn't go on a school day. And so I got a parent to work with me. We arranged it for Saturdays. And I went on Saturdays. Because I think seeing things and travel is very important. And I don't think anybody saw it like I did at that time. So I was just determined to go, and we went on Saturdays.
Well, I can see why the kids would be excited about being in your classroom.
Yeah.
Were you able to teach black history on a regular basis, or was this something that was taught during Black History Month or Black History Week?
Well, that's what I've always done. I've always taught black history where black history occurred. And if the books didn't put the blacks in there, and I had some black history books that I knew where they put the blacks, I did too. So I say, now this isn't in your book. And I take my books and let them use them. I said, because this isn't covered in your textbook. But it is history. And black history occurs not only Black History Week.
How important do you think it was to the students to hear that? To hear black history taught?
Very important. I certainly think it was very important to see the worth of their own people. Mm-hmm. And they appreciated it. They knew that we were a part of building this country. And they saw it in books because I took the books there. That's one thing. I never believed that you could teach from one book. And I used to collect old books. When I retired, I had shelves and shelves and shelves of old books. Books that the school system threw away because they kept them at Lincoln Center, and I'd go down there and ask for them.
Was black history not in the history books that were being used by the school system?
Maybe at one place or another, you know, but not throughout the book.
So it didn't have reference.
And then one author will always do more for a subject than another. That's why I always believe that you can't teach out of one book. That was part of the teaching, to have kids take different books and see what your author had to say about it. So we always had a lot of books. I don't know what they did with those books I had collected. I had lots and lots of books. And some of the old books were better than the new ones. And the children said, "Oh, look what this book says." And they got used to doing that.
Comparing.
Yes.
What made a book, one book better than another book?
Well, is how it handled a subject that you were using. To me, that made it better. And it got to the place that kids could say, oh, Miss Davis, I know which book you can find something in there. I saw that in such and such a book. And some books would handle a subject a little better. Maybe everything wasn't bad about the book, but what are you doing today that you need that book for? If it doesn't handle it, you can use another book.
Did all of your children have a book to take home?
Oh, yes.
So there was an adequate number.
Yeah, some of them might have been old books, but they had them. You could tell where the books had been used by the